You are listening to No One Is Illegal Radio on CKLN 88.1 FM Word of Mouth News. This is Craig Forte, and I'm joined in the studio today with Ryan Hayes.
Arizona's recent anti-immigrant legislation, SB 1070, has resulted in massive uprisings throughout the United States. Pickets, protests, blockades, and office occupations by undocumented students have all taken place in opposition to the regressive legislation. A rise in resistance in an unusual place, however, the world of professional sports has helped to bolster a growing campaign to boycott Arizona. Earlier this week, Craig Forche from Known as Legal Radio had a chance to sit down and connect with Dave Zirin, a sports columnist, activist, and author of numerous books on the intersections of sports and politics, to get a better understanding of the resistance to SB 1070 emerging in the world of professional sports. So we're just going to throw to that interview that we recorded with author Dave Zirin.
My name is Dave Zirin. I'm an author, radio host, and sports columnist, and I write about that murky place where sports and politics collide and come together. And I think that we, all of us, whether we see ourselves as sports fans or not, would be very wise to keep up on the issues pertaining to the world of sport, because it really does have an effect on all of our lives.
So I'm wondering if you can talk just a bit about SB 1070 in Arizona and some of the ramifications that have come up in terms of what it might mean for people living in Arizona, particularly those of Mexican or Latin American descent.
Wow. I mean, the problem with SB 1070, and there's so many problems with it, is that it basically and effectively codifies racial profiling in the state of Arizona. It creates a situation where local police are empowered to ask for people's papers and whether or not there's any just cause involved. And even more frighteningly, it gives people the power to actually sue police officers that they feel like are not harassing immigrants enough. Now, a lot of people on the pro-SB 1070 side will say, wait a minute, all they're asking police to do is enforce federal law. But there's a problem with that argument, actually a big problem with that argument, and that's that while it is in fact federal law that if you are an immigrant, a legal immigrant, you need to have your papers on you at all times, there still has to be some sort of just cause for police to ask for them. Right. And when you couple that with giving local police officers the right to enforce these kinds of laws, what it does is study after study shows that it leads to more racial profiling, more police abuses, more corruption, and on top of it all, who usually gets targeted is the low-hanging fruit, and that means poor laborers who are hardly the stereotype of the criminals and drug lords crossing the border.
Right. Now, there's been an insurgency of resistance to this legislation, demonstrations, pickets, boycotts. But interestingly, in sports, there has been a political response, which is generally not the case. And I'm wondering if you can talk a bit about the responses that we are seeing in the sports world around SB 1070.
Well, the response by the sports world has been historic in many respects and very inspiring. It's unprecedented. For the first time in history, an entire team came out against the bill, and that was the Phoenix Suns. From the owner to the general manager to star players like Steve Nash, who's of course raised in Canada, and Amari Stoudemire, they all came out as one against the bill, and that had never happened before. They wore jerseys that said Los Suns. It's just something that we have never seen, and so the equivalent would be like if the 1969 Jets had come out against the war in Vietnam with Joe Namath speaking out against it. So it's very exciting in that regard, and something that I think really has blazed some new ground when it comes to that intersection of sports and politics. And the fact that they did it in a state where the majority of the state agrees with the bill only speaks to the courage that I think was very much on display.
So, Dave, I'm not sure if you're aware, but recently in Toronto, what we've seen is a number of heightened immigration raids in our city, particularly in the last few weeks after the passing of SB 1070. And there has been a lot of resistance here. Interestingly, though, that the Toronto Blue Jays do start their away series against the Arizona Diamondbacks at the as we're recording this show. So I'm wondering if you can talk a bit about that, the Boycott Arizona Diamondbacks campaign, for those folks in Toronto who might not have heard about it.
Yeah, I mean, everywhere that they have gone over the last several weeks, there have been protesters outside the stadium. I mean, there have been protests in Chicago, in Florida, in Atlanta, in Houston, in Denver, and there are bigger ones planned even for San Francisco and Los Angeles. And these protests tend to have about 75 to 100 people outside the stadium. And where it's not just that they're the Arizona Diamondbacks, it's that their owner, Ken Kendrick, is one of the major bankrollers of the Republican Party in the United States. Now, Ken Kendrick has said that he opposes SB 1070. He said it through a spokesperson. But he only said it because of the amount of pressure he was getting. And we know this because he's still holding fundraisers for politicians that are for SB 1070. Mm-hmm. So we're saying absolutely positively these protests need to continue. And I hope they do, because one of the things it does is it nationalizes the discussion. And, I mean, one of the boycott calls has been calling for people to not vacation or travel to Arizona. Well, a lot of us are not vacationing or retiring anytime soon. So we actually need, really, we need to be able to do something to show our discontent, because they're trying to export this law across the country right now.
Right. And I mean, at least the style of the law is also being brought here by our federal government. So it's definitely relevant here in Toronto as well. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about some of the key moments. I know you're quite a historian on sort of social struggle within sports. And I'm wondering if you could talk some of the key moments that we've seen in Toronto. And I'm thinking in particular around Carlos Delgado and his stance against God Bless America and the bombing of Vieques.
I mean, I think one of the things about what Delgado did was it really changed the way people started to look at baseball players at that time. It was a very important step by him, and it was very courageous, and the New York Mets actually made him shut down doing those protests. And ironically, when he went to the Mets, he took Roberto Clemente's number 21, while at the same time accepting management's wishes to be silent. So, I mean, that was actually very disappointing. But I think what made Carlos Delgado different was actually being able to play in Canada. I think it was a big deal, because for whatever reason, the Toronto newspapers gave him the political space to be able to actually explain why he was against the war in Iraq, and he was able to articulate it in the context of what he'd seen in Vieques. And that was very important. And that was very important because it gave him a context, and it sort of isolated him from being able to be smeared by sports radio idiots. And so I think that it's always important for athletes to be able to actually explain why they're taking these positions and not immediately get slammed by being told to just shut up and play. I'm sorry, I'm losing you.
Oh, sorry about that. What I asked was, you recently interviewed Chuck D from Public Enemy, and you mm-hmm. discussed the SB 1070 and the resistance to it. And one of the things you talked about was essentially the call for removing the All-Star Game from Arizona in 2011, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And his response was essentially, you know, this is a peripheral issue. The focus should be on the grassroots and on the ground. And helping mobilize with the people. I'm wondering what you think about that response and where you see that campaign going.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't think Chuck was saying it was peripheral. I think he was saying that that's the least of it, as he put it. Meaning that we need to be able to be, like, focusing big on getting the law smashed, and that is just a small part of that. I mean, I think that it's a very important part of this process. Because a couple of reasons. One, calling for the All-Star Game to move is actually, what it does is it gives a national focus to the protests outside the stadiums. So that in and of itself is very, very important. The other thing about calling for the All-Star Game to be moved is that, I mean, it highlights Major League Baseball's own, I would argue, very predatory relationship with Latin America.
For sure.
Where they invest billions of dollars to be able to sign talent on the cheap. with only a very small percentage of very young men, I mean, we're talking about teenagers here, 15-year-olds, actually being able to make it, not only to Major League Baseball, but even Minor League Baseball. So, I mean, I think it's an important thing to have as a part of our movement, especially since these baseball protests are one of the few places where this can be nationalized effectively and discussed.
You were a really big supporter of the No 2010 Olympics campaign in Vancouver, and we've heard a lot of the work that you did to help support that campaign out there. And I'm wondering if you can talk about its importance and why you felt it necessary to go out and support that movement.
Well, the basic principle is that I agree with the idea that the Olympics should be resisted. And I also think we need to start seeing the Olympics like a gathering of the IMF or the World Bank or anywhere in the past that these convergences have been called, because they're not just the Olympics, they're not just games, they're neoliberal Trojan horses, and they bring in a whole set of economic priorities into a community. And they're like economic time bombs. I mean, look what's happening in Greece right now, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
No one's talking about that. One of the reasons Greece, their economy collapsed, and now you have these titanic struggles there, is because they went over 1,000% over budget on the Olympics. I mean, the Olympics always come in over budget. They're deficit busters. They tend to hurt local communities, and you tend to pay a terrible price down the line. And so anybody who is trying to take a stand on those questions and on those principles, I think, deserves support.
So, Dave, final question. You just mentioned resistance to, like, the IMF and WTO. As you probably know, the G20 is coming here to Toronto, and one of the big controversies in the media is that Roy Halladay's return to Toronto is going to be essentially removed because they've shifted the series to Philadelphia. And a lot of people have become angered at protesters for this particular thing. I'm wondering what your message might be to them. Yeah, and then the people who are angry about Halliday's series being shifted by the G20.
I mean, the G20 should have to face the music wherever they go. I mean, it's people in Philadelphia should see it as a challenge. I mean, if people are angry at anything, they need to be angry at the policies that the G20 represents and take a close look at those policies. I think if people did that, they would be far more sympathetic with what protesters were trying to do.
To an interview with Dave Zirin, sports columnist, activist, and author of several books, including What's My Name, Foo? And A People's History of Sports in the United States. He has supported the No 2010 Olympics campaign in Vancouver and is an active supporter of protests against Arizona's SB 1070. The song we played before the break was called Tear Down the Wall by Chuck D.
As racist and xenophobic laws in Arizona are being challenged throughout the United States, activists here in Toronto have stepped up resistance to increased immigration enforcement on our city streets. Joining us by phone is Mohan Mishra, an organizer with No One Is Illegal Toronto. Welcome, Mohan.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey there, Mohan. So we don't have much time, but I'm wondering if you can briefly explain what No One Is Illegal Toronto has been doing recently to combat word of increased enforcement in the city's West End, and how that might relate to the Arizona demonstrations that we're seeing happen this week.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what we've been hearing from people that have been calling and emailing us is that we're seeing increased enforcement, so stepped up immigration enforcement in the West End of Toronto, around Dufferin Mall, Dufferin Bloor area, and also on St. Clair West. We've heard, been contacted by people that have told us that immigration uniformed officers have basically stood on street corners or walked up to people or hung out outside of malls and asked people to prove their ID based on nothing but their skin color or their accent. We know that this is completely unacceptable. We know that immigration enforcement isn't allowed to even do this, and they're grossly overstepping even what they're legally allowed to do. So we've been, No One's Legal organizers have been going into the neighborhood, going door-to-door, flyering, postering with Know Your Rights information, talking to store owners and people in the community to make sure that people know what's going on, but beyond that to actually make sure that people know what their rights are and to continue to organize in the neighborhood so that people can fight back and we can create a kind of an organized resistance to immigration enforcement and get them out of our communities.
So for those people, Mohan, who are enraged at this type of enforcement tactics and who are also looking at this, the news in the States and seeing these types of big resistance to SB 1070, how can people get involved?
Well, people can email noonesillegal@noonesillegal@riseup.net or check out the website at noonesillegal.org. We're going to continue to follow this. We have organizers on the ground in those neighborhoods. We're going to continue to fight this. So keep checking the website for updates. Get in touch with us. And definitely, if you've seen any activity like this in your neighborhood, get in touch with us. Let us know. We saw the same things happening in 2006 when there was similar immigration raids in the Dufferin neighborhood. And because of the organized resistance to it, because of people in the community getting together, holding rallies, demonstrations, it was actually stopped, and we think we can do it again. So keep your eyes out for more updates. Keep checking out the website at noonesillegal.org, and definitely let us know if you see or hear anything.
Okay, most definitely. Thank you, Mohan. We definitely have to keep a lookout for increased immigration enforcement due to what's been going on in Arizona, but also due to the upcoming G20 meetings, and we know the social cleansing that goes on in terms of poor people and migrants wherever the G20 goes, and that's why it's also important to resist the G20 and get involved in that work. You've been listening to No One Is Legal Radio on CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto. Stay tuned next week as we continue our coverage of the G20 organizing in Toronto. OCAB Radio is coming up next. Stay tuned.